Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, Bruce joins us. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good, Marty. How's it going?
Pretty good. Glad to have you back here. You had a good trip to Oregon?
Oh, yeah, very good. We got our daughter up there. She's really excited. Took in an Oregon San Jose State football game. Had a great setting up there. So, yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, good. All right. You know, Bruce, I talked about earlier today and talked about it last weekend, too. Giants pitching. You know, I realize you wrote about Bumgarner today, and I want to get your thoughts about him. But when you look at Suarez and you look at Rodriguez and Stratton and Holland, and it's September, they're still pitching. They didn't shut these guys down, and they're getting stronger. I like what it means for next year, but the big question is, what do you do with Bumgarner? And you wrote about it today.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, they're in a position to really believe in really probably all four of those guys that you mentioned to be in next year's rotation. And it's not like they're going to join the bullpenning craze. You know, these guys are ready to go. They're all ready to go 7, 8, even 9 innings. And maybe with the exception of Holland, but, you know, then that's encouraging. That's kind of the essence of what the Giants need to be if they're going to win. And what I wrote about Bumgarner was that, you know, it's great to have these guys, but you've got to have an anchor. You know, those guys are young. The league might adjust to them next year. You don't know that. You know what you're getting from Bumgarner, and they're going to need a good rotation. Bumgarner's the perfect guy to anchor it. He's got a lot left. His injuries haven't been to his pitching arm. And, you know, they've been doing as much as they can to stay under that luxury tax threshold and get ready for the free agent market, and they should be spending it on hitters. If you sign Bumgarner, you've pretty much got a rotation. And now you can look strictly at hitters, which they need so badly if you're going to go into the free agent market, and see how that plays out.
Well, I'm with you to an extent. You know, again, it's putting the money into a pitcher who's getting it up in those years when you can go out and get, you know, this is the argument. This is what they've got. Look, you and I aren't the first ones to figure this out. This is what the Giants have got to figure out over the winter. What do you do with them? But I think if he did stay over the winter and you waited to see what you could do next year, I think you've got a rotation that look, it's one of the best in baseball right now. And I don't think you can underestimate that.
Yeah, I mean, since June, they've been fantastic, you know, on a team that didn't really seem to be going anywhere. But, you know, these guys, you know, they've got points to prove. They want to show that they're big league starters, and they've been very consistent. And it's been, you know, one of the real delights of a basically lost season. And but you're right. I mean, there's obviously a risk involved. I mean, I'd hate to see Bumgarner, really anybody, sign for 5 years. You know, it's just too long of a commitment for a guy, especially if he's pushing or past 30. You know, there's some good pitchers on the market. You know, Corbin's out there and Keuchel and a couple other guys. But, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to get those guys or that they'd be better than Bumgarner.
Well, the National League West race is still kicking around. The Padres got a good game last night, and they brought that bullpen in and shut the Dodgers down. And lefties still give the Dodgers trouble. There's a real disparity of lefties and righties against the Dodgers. So they lose. Colorado comes back and beats Arizona. Arizona's just fallen off the cliff. And I'm hoping we could get it to next weekend where the games mean something for the Giants and Dodgers.
Yeah, that would be great. I kind of handed the Dodgers the title yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Sure enough, they lose to the Padres, and it's close again. And, you know, who knows? 2 days from now, they'll be out of the lead. But, but yeah, I agree. That's to have the Giants and Dodgers close it out, and the Giants trying to wreck their season, or, you know, at least maybe make them a wild card team instead of the division, which would be huge. That's always huge for anybody to avoid that wild card thing, would be a nice, very, very cool way to end the season.
How do you feel about the one game wild card?
Well, it's very exciting. It's great for television, but I've always contended that if you play 162 games in front of a fan base that's been following you all the way, you get to the postseason, You have to have a home game. That's just the end of my argument. You have to have a postseason game in front of your fans, at least one. You know, you can't go to New York or whatever and, well, see you later. I really wish it was best of three.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do. You know, baseball always wants to make every game the seventh game of the World Series. You know, they want that drama. But there's a certain unfairness about this thing after going 162. I mean, look at the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the A's. You know what they've done, and the Yankees, and just say okay, one game, and then you're gone. The stories are just too dramatic to just kick off after one game.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is a long season too. You know, 82 games, but you get in, you got a best of seven, like right now. You know, I mean, that's obviously the baseball could not afford to draw the wild card out like that. But I just think, even if you have to play a doubleheader, you know, on the second day, then of course now you got the teams that win. They're sitting around waiting for this to happen and maybe get a little bit out of rhythm. There's an argument for that. But I just think, I always think about the fans here that have been following the team all year and how great it would be. You know, we're going to a playoff game today. You know, this whole season comes to this, and we've got something here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a good point. You know, the best of five I love. That's what, you know, and I've said this before, you know, until they put the stake in the heart, it ain't over. In the, you know, you're down 2-0 and you win one game, and you say, all right, just come back and win today, and, you know, we're back in it. That thing changes inning by inning.
I know. I'll never forget the A's back in, I think it was 2001, somewhere in there. Right. They went back to New York. It's a best of five. They went back to New York and won the first two in New York. And it's like, we're in. We're going back home. And, you know, they didn't get it done. They lost three in Oakland.
Jeremy Giambi didn't slide. And El Duque whacked him the next game. And then they went back to New York and it was all over. Believe me, I remember that. I remember that quite well.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the other thing I wanted to mention, I know we don't have a lot of time this morning, but J.D. Martinez, how about him, what he's about to accomplish?
Oh, my God.
How about this?
Yeah, he's having the best offensive season, not just of any of all the guys today, but, you know, in some ways, sort of, you know, in recent memory, he's hitting .330. I don't know what his home run total is right now. It's 38 or something like that. You know, the RBIs are there. But I think we've talked about this before, but what I really like about him is he's just a good hitter, period. I mean, .330 tells you a lot, but it seems like every time he hits a home run, it goes to right center. It's just, it's stunning. And then they do pitch him inside, boom, he's got no problem, you know, dead pulling you. But he's just, he's the perfect anchor for that team. And I'll tell you, you know, they're going to be really dangerous. The Reds, it's going to be probably Red Sox and Cleveland. That'll be a very entertaining series.
Yeah.
He's a big deal. I mean, you know, Mookie Betts is fantastic, but, you know, if they're going to get through the murderous American League playoffs, they're going to need Martinez to keep doing what he has been doing.
Yeah, this is going to be good. I think the playoffs are going to be great. I don't care which league you're in. It's going to be good.
Sure.
You know, we talked a little bit last week about the common stats and why they're kind of fun this time of year. The metrics are terrific, and they, you know, you could dig into them all day long and figure out why things are happening. They're a great teaching tool, but for the common fan, you go into the last week of the season, I want to know that Chris Davis has 45 homers and J.D. Martinez needs three to beat him to get the Triple Crown. I want to know where the 300 hitter is going to be, and in the whole discussion, you haven't mentioned what the WAR is of J.D. Martinez.
Nor will I. I have trouble with WAR because there's more than one version of it. I mean, is it the fan graphs or the baseball reference? You know, for guys like us who've been following the game for years and always looking at the same numbers that matter, it's tough to just, you know, join the crowd that says they don't mean anything. I don't mind the metrics revolution at all because, like you say, it's just fascinating. You can study it all day, but to denigrate stuff like RBIs and runs scored and average to me is really lame. And you're not connecting with the common fan there. Jesus, kid for Tampa Bay, Blake Snell has won 20 games. He's like 20-5. That means a lot. Don't tell him or any pitcher that doesn't mean something. And you know, I did a piece a couple of years ago with all the Bay Area broadcasters about, do you want to really incorporate, you know, Bob Bipp and Pecota and Loogie and all this stuff into your broadcast? And they go, not really, because you lose too many people. They're just not used to hearing that. They, you know, here he is. He's hitting .267 with 15 homers and 72 RBIs. You know, that's, here's his ERA, and it is pretty basic, but it does tell you a lot.
It does, and that's the idea, is to be able to follow it. Now, you know, I just think it shows up right now.
That
Blake Snell, 120. DeGrom's got a 178 earned run average. I don't care what his FIP is or weighted on base.
Right.
I don't care.
No, exactly.
As a fan, it gives me that information. And that's the point. Not that the other stuff isn't helpful, but as a fan down this time of year, this is where the numbers that we can relate to matter. I think that's the point of it.
Yeah, for the players, you know, a lot of guys with contracts, they've got clauses built in to do certain things, and I'm sure there's a lot of metrics in there. But, you know, if you hit .301, that's a big deal over .295. If you drive in 102 runs, it'd be a heck of a lot better feeling if you settle for .98, you know, and it just goes on down the line like that. And these are the stats that matter to the players, too. You know, some of the guys are really into the metrics, and they know everything you'd ever mention about it. But not most of them know. They're used to the more basic stats. That's what they talk about in the clubhouse. And, you know, the players, I always say the players are right. they're usually right. Whatever they're telling you, that's where it's at.
Eventually we come around to just have fun with the game, and that's what it's all about.
That's the thing, Marty. Yes, you know, stats only take me too far. I don't like to load up an article with stats. I think writing about people is much more interesting.
Right.
You know, and that's so many great writers that I've idolized have been like that, and I've tried to stick to that. I just think it's much better reading if you tell a story and not fill it up with numbers.
No, you're right. All right, one last thought for you. Just watching the game on TV last night, and I listened on the radio to the broadcast as well, but, Bruce, you'd see that sea of red with the white Cardinal jerseys, and I'm telling you, Bruce, and you've been there, I've been to St. Louis, you know, for the World Series.
Oh yeah,
they all do it. There's 45,000 people there, 43,000 are wearing the Cardinal jersey, and that those birds on the bat, it's Enos Slaughter, it's Gibson, it's Musial, it's Pujols. There's something about that uniform. It just looks good.
Boy, no kidding. My dad's from St. Louis, and I made many, many trips there. I was first there. I first saw a game there in '72, and I've been to all the World Series they've been in. Not the one against Detroit, but you know, it's a scene that you have to experience to really it does come through the television pretty well. But to just be around the ballpark, to hang around, you know, the statues, and talk to people, the town revolves around the Cardinals. You know, it's just a very cool thing. And, you know, really, I hope they get in. I just think it's a terrific thing when they're in the playoffs and that place is rocking, and it's very traditional American baseball.
Yeah, it's beautiful. All right, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for jumping on early, Bruce.
Oh, hey, no problem, Marty. Talk to you tomorrow, man.
All right, that's Bruce Jenkins. More coming up on the Sports Leader.